In North Korea, it's Bill Clinton to the rescue.
Line up. We got the call.
Barack Obama sends Bill Clinton to try and help with the release of two American citizens convicted of espionage and sentenced to 12 years hard labor. A long-standing tradition in American diplomacy, when presidents really want to make a deal with a rogue state, they send in the former presidents. Bill Clinton in Pyongyang. Go, Bill Clinton. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Tuesday, August 4th. I'm John Hockenberry, and it is a serious rescue mission for former President Bill Clinton this morning in North Korea. Amy Holmes is with us all week, former Senate speechwriter, political analyst. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. On the show today, we're following a number of stories. Three American hikers detained in Iran. The political difficulties of vacationing on the vineyard. Could that possibly be difficult? Swiss banks give up their secrets and seeking Gitmo alternatives in the United States. What's the matter with, say, Kansas?
Good question.
But first, we have Jim Walsh, North Korea watcher and professor at MIT, to discuss North Korea. This was a real stealth arrival for Bill Clinton, right?
Yes, it's like trying to smuggle a rock star into a small town. It was a shocker. And in fact, none of the U.S. press picked up on it. The first media group to report on it was a foreign group from Asia. So it came as a big surprise to everyone.
Well, we're going to keep on this story. Jim Walsh, thank you. Stay with us. We'll continue the conversation with you in just a few moments. But first, the headlines.
So in the headlines, there's another Clinton to the rescue. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton pressed Iran to release three American hikers detained in Iran. They're reportedly being interrogated and are under arrest, according to an Iranian security official. Hillary Clinton embarks on her seven-nation, 11-day tour of Africa today. She kicks off in Kenya, where she'll meet with Somalia's interim leaders.
Back in Washington, the Senate picks up debate today on the Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor. Only a handful of Republicans support her, but the Democratic majority backs her. A floor vote is expected this week. And Senate Democrats are still trying to rally support to keep cash for clunkers afloat. U.S. automakers say the rebate boosted their sales. But the world's top automaker, Toyota, is reporting an $800 million loss last quarter.
Ouch.
Yikes. Toyota says the outlook for the rest of the year is looking up.
In Afghanistan, the Taliban have fired a series of rockets that hit Kabul today. One of them landed near the American embassy. The attack comes ahead of presidential elections later this month, which could be in question right now. Markets were up more than 1% yesterday, a very happy day for investors. The Dow opens today at 92.87. The S&P starts trading above 1,000 at 10.02, although futures trading suggests it might not be so positive when the markets get underway later on this morning. The NASDAQ begins at 20.09. President Obama celebrates his 48th birthday today, not even 50 years old, and he's already president. What's your birthday wish for the president? Tell us at 8778-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. Maybe you're communicating that birthday present idea to lawmakers on recess as you discuss health care. More about that on the program. But a birthday wish for President Obama, that's what we want from you. 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. I think he's a cake guy or a pie guy for birthday.
Oh, good question. Maybe ice cream?
Probably not a carton of Marlboros. That wouldn't be appropriate, though.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
I'm Amy Holmes, in all week with John Hockenberry. So, John, we have two stories of Americans being detained.
Hostage week here.
Yeah, Iran, North Korea. So are they political prisoners? What are we calling them?
Well, it's wrong to say hostages, probably. The status is unknown. We've got the two young women in North Korea who are actually convicted on espionage charges. And then you've got these three hikers. Their status is really unknown in Iran. More about that later on.
More about that. So Bill Clinton, he arrived in Pyongyang this morning to negotiate the release of those two American journalists. Laura Ling and Yuna Lee, as you say, have been convicted by the regime of grave crimes. With us to discuss this is Sang-Hun Choi, New York Times Seoul correspondent, and Jim Walsh, North Korea expert at MIT Security Studies Program. But first to you, Sang-Hun, can you give us a little background on the story? What were the circumstances of their arrest?
We don't exactly know under what circumstances they were arrested on mid-March, when they were captured by North Korean border guards. We only know that they were captured by North Korean border guards.
And where are they being held and under what sorts of conditions?
Well, Jim Walsh, as we try to get Sang-Hun Choi back on the line there, let me just ask you this question. Bill Clinton famously attempted to negotiate an overall nuclear deal with the North Koreans right at the end of his administration. I'm wondering if he has a personal agenda here, and this comes right after the North Koreans seemed to offer an opening for a bilateral arrangement after deciding not to talk with the United States for quite a while.
Well, John, you're right. This whole situation is layered with irony. You may remember even before Clinton expressed an interest in traveling to North Korea at the end of his second term, Jimmy Carter, a former president, intervened on a nuclear crisis under Bill Clinton's tenure, and the Clinton administration was less than thrilled about this intervention by an outsider, but it produced a positive result that led to an agreement that helped freeze North Korea's nuclear program. You know, whether Bill Clinton has a personal agenda on North Korea remains to be seen. It hasn't been a focus of his foundation. My guess is his main concern as a former president is that he doesn't want to go there unless he has some advance signal from North Korea that this is in fact going to be a successful trip. So the fact that he's going is something I take as a good sign that something is probably in the works.
So Jim, why do you suppose the Obama administration tapped Bill Clinton to make this trip, given his mixed track record with North Korea?
Well, I think Bill Clinton's record on North Korea is one where he wanted to accomplish something under his tenure.
Highly motivated.
Very, very close. But then it just sort of fell apart there as Florida chads and ballots were being examined. But I think in this case, it's probably President Obama and the Secretary of State who are making the decision as to whether to send Bill Clinton or not, unlike the Jimmy Carter situation where Carter sort of went on his own. Seems to me highly unlikely that this is something where Bill is freelancing. So the reports have been that Gore, a former Vice President Gore, might go. Certainly Bill Richardson, the former governor or current governor of New Mexico, had made similar trips in the past. But this seemed to be something that the North Koreans were interested in, to have a former president visit, and that's what probably sealed the deal.
But again, we're kind of stirring the pot here. I mean, this was so well concealed that, I mean, on some level, while what you're saying, Jim Walsh, of the MIT Security Studies Program is plausible, we actually don't know officially. But it is impossible to imagine that Hillary Clinton would have allowed Bill Clinton to just sort of go in on her own. Let's talk a little bit about the protocol in a situation like this. When there are people arrested, it's not the Secretary of State or the President that lead on something like this. It would be an envoy or a lower-level diplomat, correct?
That's most likely the case. Usually in diplomacy, you don't send the Secretary of State in at the drop of a hat. It's something that comes after a long process and where lower-level officials sort of pave the way for higher-level officials. But this is a special case. Again, it's a humanitarian mission, if you will, not sort of a straight-up two-nation negotiation on broad set of issues. At least that's not the way the U.S. is probably treating it. It's a special case with a special problem, and in those circumstances, it makes perfect sense to send an envoy, and in this case, an envoy who has some juice of his own.
But I have a question about that. Earlier, you described Bill Clinton as a rock star, so he brings a lot of attention, media attention, to these negotiations. Is there risk in that, and by extension, risk for the Obama administration?
Well, certainly, if it's an unsuccessful trip, then that would be a risk both personally for former President Clinton and for the administration. It would make them both look bad. But that's why and this is just a deduction on my part, but this is why I feel fairly confident that the former president wouldn't agree to this unless something had been agreed to in advance. And from what I'm hearing, this has been in the planning stages for at least a couple of weeks.
On the other side of the coin there, though, the North Koreans may want a rock star. I mean, only Bono would have a higher profile than Bill Clinton going in. I mean, that's exactly what they're looking for here, to reset the deck on these very, very frustrating nuclear talks that have been going on.
Well, precisely. It serves a political purpose for them insofar as he is high profile. He is a rock star. He's the highest ranking American to visit North Korea in roughly a decade.
Since Madeleine Albright.
Exactly. And then, you know, and you can have a debate, which is a bigger deal, as sitting Secretary of State or a former president. They're all big. So this is a big deal for North Korea. It helps them at the level of pride and status and respect that they think they deserve, that they're not getting, at a time when they're having an internal political transition, when we all think that the current leader, Kim Jong-il, is on his way out and going to be replaced by his youngest son. So for them, it serves several purposes. But for us, this is a big deal, too, not simply for the journalists, which is obviously important, but it does present an opportunity, and we don't want to put too much of a burden here, but an opportunity to reset, hit the reset button, as Bill's wife said, on the U.S.-Korean relationship, because you're meeting with Kim Jong-il. Americans never have an opportunity to meet with Kim Jong-il, and his word is the final word, so if they do manage to talk about the U.S.-Korean relationship in broader terms, there's at least the slimmest possibility that the thing could change because of this direct interaction.
Well, we have Sang-hun Che, New York Times Seoul correspondent, back on the line. Sang-hun, before we lost you, I was asking you, where are these journalists being held and under what sorts of conditions? Do you know? I guess we don't have him back on the line. So, Jim, let's get back to you.
Sabotaging his life.
Now, while we're certainly aware of this story and Americans are aware of this story, it's still been fairly low profile. We haven't heard Laura's sister, Lisa Ling, who's quite well known to the American public, for example, making a public plea for her sister's release. Are there diplomatic reasons for that, to kind of keep it under the radar a bit?
Absolutely, and I think you'll see the same thing happening with respect to the three hikers who were seized in Iran. But even more so in the case of North Korea. North Korea can be prickly. It's very sensitive. And at the end of the day, if they are holding the two journalists, then they have the cards on this particular issue. And name-calling and screaming and making it a big public deal doesn't normally work with the North Koreans and isn't going to help get them freed. It also simply raises the value of the bargaining chip, as it were, that the more you make it a public issue, the more those people being held are political value and improves the bargaining position of the North. So for a variety of reasons in cases like this, and again, you'll see this with the Americans being held in Iran, low profile seems to be the way to go.
So, Jim, what are your predictions for success here? I mean, the fact is diplomatic efforts have not worked thus far. These women have been convicted and sentenced to 12 years of hard labor. Are North Koreans in a mood to negotiate?
I would have to guess yes, at least on this issue. This trip, I don't think, would be happening unless there was some evidence on both parties' parts that this was going to be a successful outcome. It serves neither North Korea nor the U.S. to have this end badly. And these opportunities are so few and far between that I don't think it happened. This is just no one called up and said, hey, you want to come over? And someone says, yeah, I guess I'll come over. This has been talked about, negotiated. The final deal may not be worked out, but there's at least a good enough chance that it's all going to work that both parties felt confident enough to give it a try.
Well, Jim Walsh, there's certainly a long tradition of quid pro quo, as the North Koreans are very skilled at getting what they want with the limited bargaining chips they have at their disposal. If North Korea should suddenly accredit a bunch of journalists from Seoul to come into Pyongyang to cover this, what should the response of Western media be? To go there or what?
Oh, I would think so. First of all, the Western media, particularly since things started to turn sour this spring, have not had the access that they've had in past years. For a while there, North Korea was sort of opening up and even allowing one agency to set up a little mini-bureau, and that all became much more difficult once rumors of Kim's stroke took place back in August of 2008. So I think anytime you get a chance to go into North Korea, speaking personally and professionally, you need to take it, because it's a country we know so little about, and I would expect any journalist worth his or her.
Well, I'd certainly go, Jim.
Do it.
Thanks
Interesting
so much for that.
Thanks so much for joining us. You are listening to Jim Walsh, North Korea expert at MIT Security Studies Program, and briefly, Sang-Hung Che, New York Times Seoul correspondent.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.